Glory to the name of our God. Certainly he's worthy to be praised. God has blessed us beyond measure and beyond our prayers, and we should be glad about it. Certainly this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. For God has and is blessing us, and certainly we should share with others the goodness of the Lord and all that the Lord has done and is doing for us. Listen, my heart is made glad. We are blessed to be a blessing in this season. And I want to give thanks to all of the members who have participated in our Christmas drive. We are there, but yet, listen, we can be more of a blessing if we just keep giving. We have reached the $15,000 goal, and I'm excited about that we will be a blessing to the St. Jude Hospital, Ronald McDonald House, and the people that are around the church in the Bessemer community. So if you would give yourselves a hand and thank God for blessing you to be a blessing. And then I want to thank God for the homeless ministry. They have blessed during the Thanksgiving season, and we have wonderful testimonials that have come in, people that have shared what good they have done to help them in their season of need, in their season of family and fellowship. And we thank God for the wonderful testimonials that have come in as it relates to the homeless ministry. And then I also want to thank God for our seniors ministry and reaching out and blessing the people of our church and in our community, the seniors of our community. We love our seniors, and we want them to know that they are in our hearts and they are on our minds. And too, God has blessed us to be a blessing to them. So thank God for the ministries that we have that are reaching out as we are reaching in and reaching up unto God. God is causing us to reach out to be a blessing to the people who are among us and the people who are without our church. And so thank God for you. Thank God for your diligence, your support, your compassion, care, concern for people who are in need. Listen, we are in trying times, but listen, God is tougher than the times. We are in a pandemic, but we are not to panic. Certainly, we thank God for settling us and allowing us to be used of him in this season. Listen, I want to encourage your hearts to join us in the morning as you have joined us tonight or this evening for Bible study. Join us at 5 a.m. in the morning for waking up on Wednesday mornings with the Word. We're in a wonderful series. We're dealing with God's directory for godly living. And that particular subject is taken from Psalm 37. He tells us what not to do, and he also tells us what to do. And so I'm excited about tomorrow as we will delve and deal with committing our ways unto the Lord. Listen, this evening we will continue our study in Matthew's chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. If you will, go on and grab your Bibles. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and journey with me in these particular verses as God will speak to our hearts as we read and study his holy word. Verses 25 through 30, Matthew's chapter 11. Matthew's chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Verse 30. It reads this way, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the word of God, and certainly the word of God for the people of God. Let us be hearers and doers of his holy word. We want to talk about rest in Jesus Christ. Rest in Jesus Christ. This particular passage falls on the heels of Jesus' denunciation of judgment on the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum in verses 20 through 24. The people of those cities rejected Jesus after they heard his message and saw his miracles. I want to say, brothers and sisters, that there is no rest in rejecting Jesus Christ. There is no rest in judgment. In verses 20 through 24, he denunciated judgment upon the people of those cities. There is no rest in judgment. But here it is, Jesus offers an invitation to all that have heard his message and saw his miracles to come unto him and receive rest. In verse 25 through 27, he expresses joy because he is the only way to know God. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the only way to know God. Notice in verses 25 through 27, it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Jesus is God's method of revealing himself to humanity. Let me say that again. Jesus is God's method, God's way of revealing himself to humanity. For only Jesus could say and can say, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus is the express image of God to mankind. So Jesus is God's method of revealing himself to humanity. I like how Jesus deals with God and how he reveals his relationship with God. He calls God Father to express their perfect relationship and intimate communion. It points to the trust, the love, and the obedience of Christ, and to the depth of affection between Jesus and God the Father. God the Father and God the Son are one. For Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." So God means God's method of revealing himself to humanity is Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like and how God feels and how God thinks, if you want to know how God deals with certain things, you need to study the life of Jesus Christ. It's revealed in Christ. It's revealed in Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to earth, he came as an expression. He came as the express image of the Father. So Jesus is God's method of revealing himself to humanity. Now, several things Jesus said of the Father. He gave God thanks for in verses 25 through 27. First of all, he thanked God because God the Father has hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Cue in, if you will, on the words wise and prudent. The wise and prudent are those who exercise mental excellence and intelligence. Let me say that again. The wise and the prudent are those who exercise mental excellence and intelligence. In other words, they are people who rely on their mental excellence and intelligence to know God. This is wisdom of the world, wisdom that causes self-dependence and false confidence. This type of wisdom and intelligence can lead people to think that they do not need God. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have people in our day, in this time, in this era, who think they don't need God, for they rely on their wisdom and intelligence, their mental excellence. They are smart. They are highly intelligent people. But listen, you can't know God through man's intelligence and worldly wisdom. This kind of wisdom can lead people to think that the things of Christ are foolish. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 27. It's a lengthy read, but let me read it to you, if you will, so that we can grasp what the Lord is saying to us here. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble, not are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So that there will be no rejoicing in man. God will bring to naught things that man seemed to exalt. So thanks be to God that God, he uses things that's foolish to men of worldly wisdom and intelligence. God has hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Men of mental excellence and intelligence. But he rejoices in that God has revealed this to babes. Babes denotes people of simplicity and dependence. Work that in your spirit. Jesus's use of the word babe, it denotes people of simplicity and dependence. A babe is helpless on his or her own. I have a 9-month-old baby at home who is very dependent. Trinity Joy depends on me and her mother for everything. She thinks she is somewhat independent, but she's not. Without her mother and I, she cannot live. She needs someone to help her, to support her, to provide for her, to help her experience life. Jesus uses the image of a baby and a baby's need of someone else to live, to relay the truth of humanity's need of him to know God the Father. If you acknowledge your dependence on Jesus Christ, he will reveal the Father to you. Let me say that again. If you acknowledge your dependence on Jesus Christ, he will reveal the Father to you. Verse 28, Jesus offers an invitation to all. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He makes an offer in verses 28 through 30 that only he can fulfill. He contrasts himself in these verses with the religious leaders of his day. The religious leaders were imposing strict additions to the law. They were adding weight. Jesus said of the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 23 verses 2 through 4, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their fingers. Notice what he says. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear. So he contrasts himself with the religious leaders. He says, instead of going to them, he says, come unto me. To me means to me alone, to me only, to and not to another. Only Jesus can lighten the load of the law. Only Jesus can reveal the Father to you. Only Jesus can repair the broken relationship between you and God the Father. Only Jesus can give you the rest that your soul need in the Lord. So Jesus not only claimed to know the only way to God, he also claimed to be the only way to God. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me alone. Come to me only. Not to another. Come to me. His words echo through ages and eons The word of Jesus then is the word of Jesus now. That we are still to go to Jesus for all we need of the Father. And we still are to go to Jesus for knowing the Father. He says, come unto me. And he says, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Listen now. Listen to this. The invitation is to everyone burdened. Don't miss that. The invitation is to everyone burdened. Don't miss him. Jesus, his listeners were exhausted from trying to measure up to the expectations of the law. And Jesus said they were to come to him because they were laboring under a heavy load. They were labored and heavy laden. Now, the word labor denotes toiling in legal ways of righteousness. The word laden denotes being burdened under Pharisaic performances or practices. So the invitation is to toilers and to the burden, trying to earn salvation is tall and burdensome. Trying to merit salvation through good works is toil and burdensome. The law is weighty. And Jesus deals with the heavy burden of the law about keeping the commandments and teachings to be acceptable to God. Keeping the law is an impossible load to carry. He is the only one who could perfectly live out every aspect, every facet of the law. The law requires perfection. No man apart from Jesus. Christ is perfect. So Jesus did what no man can do. He lived a perfect life. Only Jesus can help us bear the weight of the law. Work that in your spirit, if you will. Only Jesus can help us bear the weight of the law. Jesus said, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. There is rest in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The word rest means to repose. It means to refresh. It means to revive and rejuvenate. Jesus Christ's rest is not a rest from work, but it is rest in work. The rest of Christ is deeper than physical rest. It is not rest of inactivity, but of the harmonious working of all the faculties and reflections of will, heart, imagination, conscience, because each has found in God the ideal sphere for its satisfaction and development. It is soul rest. He gives us rest of soul. Notice what he said in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It is not a physical rest. It is a soul rest. So Christianity is not a burden. The Lord promises us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now, a yoke is a wooden bar that joined two oxen to each other and to the burden they pull. A well-fitting yoke makes it easier for the oxen to do their work. It is when you acknowledge your insufficiency and inability to handle life, to be saved on your own, is when Jesus intervenes in your life to save you, to save your soul. When you are humble and seek God's help, you will find it through Jesus Christ. Jesus will come alongside you and help you bear your burden. He'll yoke up with you. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So verses 29 through 30, Jesus again contrasts himself with the religious leaders. He used personal pronouns in verses 29 through 30. I, my, me, I, my. Notice what he says in verses 29 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will give my yoke. Learn of me. I am gentle. My yoke, my burden. He says, I am meek. I am so unlike the religious leaders. I am meek and lowly in heart. And meekness and lowly in heart are synonymous. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And it was a disparity of the religious leaders. While Jesus demonstrated meekness and humility, they exhibited extraordinary pride, love for places of honor, special ties, and the exercise of authority over others. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm so unlike those religious leaders. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you. I will yoke up with you. Learn of me. Become my disciple. You will discover that I'm gentle. And my yoke is easy and my burdens are light because I help you bear them. Hallelujah. Listen, this is a word for somebody, because you're trying to deal with life on your own. You're trying to handle the circumstances of life on your own. You're trying to face life's tests and temptations on your own. But Jesus is speaking to you today. He's saying, come to me. You don't have to do it alone. I will yoke up with you. This is a word for somebody that have the weight of the world on their shoulders. Don't know which way to turn. Don't know which way to go. Don't know what to do, what to say. Jesus says, come unto him. And he will lighten your load. Some soul is wrestling with salvation, wanting the rest of God. And you're wondering what to do. Here's what to do. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Seek Jesus. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to yoke up with you, to help you pull the load. Listen, as I was studying this, they would normally join an experienced ox with an inexperienced ox. And the experienced ox would teach the inexperienced ox how to bear the load. Jesus is the experienced ox. And we are the inexperienced ox. And he helps us to bear the load. He helps us and he reveals to us the wisdom we need so that we don't pull ourselves out, that we don't wear ourselves out, that we don't exhaust ourselves and exhaust our energy and use up our mental energy and physical energy and spiritual strength trying to do it on our own and by ourselves. But yet what we'll do is submit ourselves to him under the yoke and under his burden, and he promises that he will help us to bear. You don't have to deal with none of life alone. You can trust him to yoke up with you in all of your life experiences. I want to close with verse 30. Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus' yoke and burden, which by contrast are easy and light. Listen to this. To serve Jesus is not a burden. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
I think that's worth repeating. Amen. To serve Jesus is not a burden. It's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
If you invite Jesus into your heart, allow him to save your soul, give your soul rest, Jesus will help you deal with life. He's acquainted with life. He lived life on earth himself. And he knows what it takes to please the Father. We don't have to do it on our own. We have help. It's just as simple as receiving and accepting the help that Jesus offers. He doesn't want to curse us, as so stated in verses 20 through 24. Those who rejected him, he denunciated judgment upon them, condemnation upon them. Jesus doesn't want to curse us. He wants to bless us. But to be blessed by Jesus requires that we accept him as the only way unto God and the only one who can give us knowledge of God. That's what he's saying here. And I encourage you to do just that. God bless your heart tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that your word, Father, will live within our hearts to give us your instructions as to how we are to live lives pleasing to you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that he doesn't want to curse us. He wants to bless us. He wants to free us of the weightiness and heaviness of life, and free us from condemnation and damnation. Thank you for Jesus. For I thank you for his word, that his yoke is easy and his burden light. Bless every soul that's hearing this Bible study lesson tonight, and who will hear it for in the days to come. And we pray, Father, that your word will be as a seed planted in the heart and life of some unbeliever, that it will convict to convert from the way of sin to the way of your salvation. Thank you, Father, for blessing us here at the New Bethlehem Church, keeping us safe in this pandemic. Lord, we have people who are bereaved, members, and we pray and ask your comfort upon them. We have sickness, Lord, among us, but you are a healer and a deliverer, and we trust you to touch them in Jesus' name and raise them from their sick beds. Lord, we have trouble and turmoil and turbulence in relationships and, Lord, on jobs and within people and their mental state, Father. They are confused and not knowing what to do. But you, God, will lead and guide as we surrender to you. Watch over us, and as we bless the people that you have laid on our hearts to bless, we do ask that you keep blessing us, that we can keep being a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.